Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
Would you turn with me to John chapter 11 this morning? John chapter 11, verse 20 through 26. We are living in some of the most difficult times that you can imagine. And I don't think there has been more of a sadder Christmas as we are getting ready to go into than this one. It has affected every facet of our lives. We have heard that over 500,000 people are out of work, and if that is not bad enough, we see the fear and the incredible intimidation that is placed upon people's lives of what could happen in the mall and what might happen with anthrax. We have found, as Pastor Rob said, that our own dear sister Tui is in intensive care, and we don't know how bad it is. She was in there a couple of days ago, and they just can't figure out what's wrong with her. A dear family that I've known for years, I did their son's funeral almost a year ago, but then the sister has now died, and so Steve Arlo and now Kimberly and the family's here with me today, and we're going to bury a second of the family this year. A personal friend that I came to know and love from Rolling Hills Covenant that was coming down here on Thursday went home the other day and had a massive stroke, and he died, and his wife found him on the floor. The news of the brothers being killed over in the wars and just the sad situation going on. And I think that the message in chapter 11 is absolutely ordained from the Lord. Not that I'm ordained doing it, but the timing is absolutely incredible. And I do believe that God does bring perfect timing to the messages He really wants to bring. And in all the Bible, there's probably not a greater story that has to deal with heartache and discouragement than in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. It's almost as if when life throws the worst curve in your life, when the thing that you never dreamed would happen again, when things just seem to fall apart and the very life that you've lived is coming undone at the seams, and there is no hope, and you don't understand why God has not been around, and you don't understand why God isn't answering prayers, that God comes into the scene and He declares to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so we pick up the story in chapter 11, verse 20 through 26. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. And Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if Thou had been here, my brother would not have died." Oh, we ought to underline that. Where were you on September 11th? Lord, where were you when Kimberly died? Lord, where were you when these things are taking place? And these are honest questions that we have in our minds and our hearts. If you would have been here, this would have never happened. But I know, and underline, I know that even now, whosoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto Him, "I know," and underline the word "I know," "that He shall rise in the resurrection at the last days." Jesus responds in verse 25 and 26 to verse 24. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this?" The question. And Jesus leaves her with an incredible question. Now notice in verse 25, I want you to underline the word "resurrection." And verse 25, underline the word "death." And then in verse 25, underline the word life. Because that is what it's all about. We live, we die, we are resurrected. And Jesus now comes to a woman who is absolutely overwhelmed in who she is. With a tenderness in his heart, his own life, wanting to do something out of the ordinary. He had delayed the coming and he had waited for the perfect opportunity. And by the way, it's not our opportunity or our timing, it's God's timing that he wanted to do. And the rising of Lazarus from the dead was not the Lord's last miracle, probably was one of the greatest miracles. If you don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, then you need to come here to Calvary Chapel about 5 minutes before we close and you will find the staff being resurrected. They just become alive right before closing hours. And there are times in our lives that we just get through a day, but when the day is over, we're ready to live. Well, this is even worse than that. This is when something horribly has gone wrong. This is when there are no answers and it's too late and Jesus had waited too long. And yet he comes and we find as we read the story over and over again that he delayed on purpose. This is now the fifth of the I Am's. You remember he declared in John 6:51, I am the bread of life. And then in John chapter 8 verse 12, he declared, I am the light of the world. And then in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door, I'm the entrance into the sheep. And then in John 10, 11, he declared, I am the good shepherd, willing to lay my life down for the sheep. But this morning, he declared that I am the resurrection. Now you go back all the way to the very beginning of the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, and you will find that he is crying out in agony, because he lost his children, 7 of them were killed. He had lost everything that was precious to his life. And he declared in Job 19, verse 25, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall see him face to face. So though he was going through horrible, horrific times within his life, he believed in his Redeemer and knew that he would see him face to face. That is the challenge this morning, that no matter what happens in your life, you are going to see the Lord. Whether I die into the Lord. Whether I live into the Lord. Whether I die, whether I live, I am the Lord's. We find later on in the passage in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, when the Antichrist is coming against the children of Israel, and it is a horrible time where so many of the Jews are being destroyed. In Daniel 12, 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. In other words, in the midst of the battle, and the horrible moment of Armageddon, and the horrible things that the Antichrist is going to do, when our flesh is being destroyed, when we are being chased by the enemy, we know that we will see him face to face. And then you remember in Psalm 17 in the life of David, where he had sinned and God said that your child's going to die. And he was hoping that the child would not die, and he was seeking the mercy of God. But when the child died, he declared in Psalm 17, verse 15, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So Job had a refuge. David had a refuge. Daniel had a refuge. And that is the refuge that I need in my life concerning the resurrection. But in chapter 11, it is a gripping story of the length that God will do to get your attention. It is an unbelieving story of what God will allow to happen in the people whom he loves, to develop the faith and to bring out the maturity within your life. It is not a pampering love in chapter 11, it is a perfect love. And when God is committed to your character, over your comfort, then he allows himself to do things that would bring me to a place of building character within my life. The danger is that when God begins to work and things begin to happen and people begin to fall by the wayside and business begins to go astray and the world begins to come apart, what do I do? Well, in the times of my afflictions, I'll seek him early. And there's something about humanity that in my affliction, I begin to call on the name of God. I begin to search the Word. I begin to look to the Word for answers because life has let me down. And life will always let you down. Life is tough, but God is good. Life is difficult, but God is gracious. And the reason we struggle so much in this life is because we don't believe in the resurrection. Oh, we believe it in our head, but not in our heart. Jesus said to Martha, do you believe in the resurrection? And she said, I know one day he will be raised. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You're looking at him. And that is the problem with my life. I'm looking down the road instead of taking the strength today in my life. I'm looking to things get better down the road instead of God making things better right now in my life. I'm looking beyond the point of mourning, looking for God to help me make it through my life. And God is saying today, Martha, I am the resurrection. In fact, your brother's not dead. And she goes, oh, I know that. And she didn't know it. And that is the problem with Christianity. We think we know what is happening in our life. You don't know. I do know. In the last days, you're going to resurrect the dead. No. Martha, I'm not talking about a doctrine. I'm not talking about what the church preaches. I'm talking about the person and work of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am the resurrection. You remember another time in Mary's life, not this one, but another Mary, we find that she was hanging on to the gardener. And she was saying, tell me where you've taken him that I might go and pick him up. A woman declaring that God will give me the strength to carry this body of Jesus. Just tell me where he's at. And then he spoke and she realized she was hanging on to him, but never even realized it. In other words, she was lost in her confusion and her perplexity to really know what to do and who to look for. We find the very same thing happened with the elder son. What a wonderful story it is of the prodigal son. And we love the story because it speaks of all of us being prodigal and how God goes after the prodigal children and how God is willing to run. And we have built sermons and millions have come to Christ because of that story. But that's not the story. If you go back and read it in the context, that's a wonderful story, but that's not what Jesus was after. He was speaking concerning the elder son. He was after the Pharisees that were standing right next to him. He was speaking to them that they were the elder son. And he was saying in a nutshell, guys, it's possible for you to be standing next to me and be million of miles away. Though you're physically here, spiritually, you are down the road. But your son, the prodigal son, he is thousands of miles away physically, but spiritually, he really has never left my heart. And so it's possible in life to be blown at every junction of your life and have a heart for God. And God knows that. But it's also possible to be walking around saying, well, am I not something else in this church? And yet be miles away from a relationship of Jesus Christ. And God takes the pain. And God takes the turmoil within my life and he brings it into a reality that I have to grab a hold of something. I was reading the other day about a little bird that was hanging onto a limb of a tree and it was calm and it was quiet and it was unafraid and the wind tore at the limbs of the tree and the bird continued to look the storm in the face. How dare you mock me, cried the storm. The little bird calmly cried back, blow with everything you have in the storm. In fact, go ahead and knock me off this limb. Why? Because I have wings and I'm longing to use them. That's the power of the resurrection. Satan, knock me off my boat, But I want you to know Jesus is in my heart and I'm going to rise again. Take my life, whatever you want, but I want you to know I'm not going to become discouraged. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Do what you want with me, world, but I want you to know when it's all said and done, I can never die because I have a relationship built with Jesus Christ. Yes, it will be tested. Yes, it will go through difficult times, but it is sanctified and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are longing to use the wings within the spiritual realm of our lives. So take a best shot at me. And the world does. Your children sometimes die. Your children begin to have difficult times. Your husbands have difficult times. But you and I need to grab a hold of Jesus Christ right then and there. Now the background is kind of interesting. It's a story about a simple man and a family named Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They lived in Bethany, and Jesus had made their home part of his rest and recuperation, where they would feed him, and he would come, and he would rest. Jesus had taken off to the east side of Jordan, what we would call the Transjordan, there to minister. It would be about a day's journey, about 20 miles outside of Bethany, and he was there ministering, and Lazarus became extremely sick. And so Mary and Martha sent away for Jesus to come. It took a day for the messenger to get there. Jesus heard the reply. It took a day for the messenger to get back. Jesus continued to work another day, but on the fourth day, Jesus decided to go. Now, when I look at the story, there are three things that stand out to me this morning. Number one, very simply, and probably kind of important, the servant's sickness in verses 1 through 11. I'll give these three little headings and try to speak on each of them quickly. Secondly, I find the sister's sadness in verses 20 through 24. And thirdly, I find the Savior's story in verses 25 through 43. Well, let's take a look at the first, the servant's sickness, in verses 1 through 11. We're not going to read it because we've read it before here, but it basically says that he became sick, nigh unto death. It declares in the Greek that the moment that the servant left, Lazarus died. Jesus knew that, but when he finally received the message, he delayed his coming. He chose not to go. And that bothers me a little bit. Because you wonder, then, Lord, why do we cry out to you? But the interesting thing is the moment Lazarus became sick, he knew it because he was God. And he did not respond. And this is the key, because he wanted to show the glory of God. So there are times in your lives that God does not answer your prayers right away. But that is not a no. That is just not now. It is because God wants to do something greater and more powerfully in your life. He wants to reveal to you the glory of God. Now, there are some problems going on, and Jesus knew that. In our minds here, we have one thought. The whole story is about Lazarus, and I disagree. That was just a band-aid on top of the issue deep at hand. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was going to go after the heart of Mary and Martha, and he was going to change Lazarus, and he was going to use this to devastate his disciples. Because when he heard, or they heard, we're going to go back to Bethany, the disciples said, do we have to? They're going to kill you. And we, if they're going to kill you, they're going to kill us, so, you know, let the guy die. I mean, these are the great men of God. Selfish, very stubborn men. It's okay. We'll just stay where we are. And God was using this situation to bring the heart out. Have you ever noticed that? That when difficult things arise within your life, the real attitude comes up? The sweetness is gone, and now we really know who you are. If you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is little. When you're being tried and tempted and tested, who really are you? And you might think that God is seeking to embarrass you, but I suggest God is seeking to show you that He knows the real you. And He wants you to know the real you. And so God will allow things to happen to bring you to a point of looking to God. And the moment Lazarus was sick, they looked to Jesus. The moment things begin to fall apart, I look to Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And I should do that all the time in my life. But I don't. And so things happen to force me back. But also, in the midst of this, God is going to use the pride of the disciples to show them their own heart, that they were afraid of dying. They did not want to die. And God was going to bring that out. Then He was going to come back and He was going to talk to Martha. And He was going to show Martha that what she thought wouldn't get her anywhere. Because she knew everything, but it didn't do a thing for her. She knew the doctrine, but she missed Jesus Christ. She had the church, but she didn't have Christ. She had the body, but she didn't have the head. And all of a sudden, she's crying out, I know that my Redeemer one day will live. No, Martha, I am the resurrection. Do you believe that? And she didn't answer. I never saw that before. She did not answer. And so, Jesus, being the one He is, thought, hey, Martha, roll away the tomb. Oh, Jesus, He stinks. Martha, I thought you said you believed. And it's not trying to embarrass Martha. It is trying to perfect a faith in Martha that it's not believing here. It's the passion that says, I believe, I have wings, I'm going to fly. And so Jesus drew that out of Martha, all because of a pain in one man's life. And God uses that oftentimes within our lives in the midst of everything we're going through. But also, not only do I see the sickness in a servant, but secondly, in verses 20 through 24, I see the sister's sadness. And notice what He does here. He doesn't offer them anything else but who? Himself. Now, really listen to me very, very carefully. Because you don't need a new house. Oh, I want you to have a new house, but that's not what you need. Well, yes, it is. No, it's not. Well, if I could just have my family back, that's not what you need. What you need and what I need is to know that in any situation, Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. That I am saved, going to heaven, and God knows what's best in my life. I don't think He does, but that's what the Bible says. And I'm willing to say that to you because you think it. You just won't say it. So I'm going to speak for you. Well, if you were here, why did this happen? I love you. I serve you. I give you my life. I feed you at my table. I let you spend the night at my house. And then you kill my son, my brother, Lazarus. And Jesus would say, now, wait a second. Yes, I allowed it. But don't forget, I also allowed my own son to die. And if he had not died, you would not be saved. And there's a purpose for what you're going through. God has a purpose in your life. And if you don't latch on to Jesus Christ, you're going to miss that purpose. You're going to go by the wayside. You need to hang on to that relationship in a wonderful way. You remember the people cried out, give us bread, give us bread. And Jesus declared, what did He say? I am the bread of life. Oh, I could give you the bread, but you need me. I could feed you every single day, but you need me. I could satisfy you every day, but what you really want is I am the bread of life that takes away the hunger and the thirst forever. They cried out, we're confused. We don't know which way to go. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Take me and I will be a lamp unto your feet and I'll show you where you are to walk. Are there not 12 hours in a day? Walk in that light and be the children of that light. Thomas was confused and Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'll show you how to do it. So in each of the situations of your life, yes, He can heal. But even more than heal, He wants to give you Himself. And oftentimes we just say, oh, Lord, just take care of the mess and save the relationship later on. But the relationship is what God's after. Oh, the elder son had a relationship, but it was here. It was not in the heart. And we find again, over and over again, that God is looking deep within the hearts of people. And then lastly, we see in verses 25 through 43, the Savior story. Jesus offers life. Notice verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with napkins, and Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. He stands before the tomb, and he cries out, come forth. Now, before we leave, I just want to encourage you. Why do you think these things happen in our life? Is it not to really live in the power of the resurrection today? It's easy for me to say, well, I know that God's going to take care of everything. Okay? How am I doing right now? I'm not doing real well. Well, then in theology, I believe, but in practicality, I don't. You see, Christianity is becoming practical, living out your theology. If I say that there's a bomb in here and keep on teaching, you're not going to move. Maybe you might. But if I said there's a bomb in here and you see me run out, baby, you're out of here. Because what I've said, I'm now doing. Well, Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I'm the only one that can heal your life. Well, Jesus, what about my brother? Oh, he's not dead. Well, he's in the tomb, Martha. I'm God. I'm in the tomb, I'm with you all at the same moment. You see, your brother just is in the tomb. Well, I don't understand. I know, Martha, because you're looking at the doctrine. You're looking at the theology. You're looking at what people teach, but you don't believe that I made the heavens and the earth, and you don't believe that I can turn things upside down, and you don't believe that I can get you out of this mess right now. Well, no, I really don't. Well, Stephen, I can quicken you out of your sin and bring you into the presence of Jesus Christ instantly. And Stephen, I can take the pain out of your life, and I can give you a joy unspeakable, full of joy. But do you believe? Well, yes, I believe. And then the Lord tests me. Me and my wife get into it. And all of a sudden, I'm getting upset and in the flesh and getting angry. And I hear this little voice, huh, how you doing? Little selfish guy, huh? Selfish? I'm not selfish. Can you believe what she's doing? Oh, you're not going to live the Bible. What? Well, Jesus said he died on the cross where they were yet sinning. And really, as a husband, the Bible says you're to die and set the example for your wife. Well, I'm not going to set no example right now. I'm going to lock the door and kick her out. That's what I'm going to do. And I hear God saying, I can be the resurrection. I don't want you to resurrect me right now. I like this moment in my life. I want to get mad. And then I hear God saying, don't go on. And what do I have to do? I've got to go on. And I hear God perfectly, let it go. Trust me. In all your ways, I don't want to go your way. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to tell you something, gal. And boy, then it begins to happen. Then the tears come. Now, it's not fair. It's just not fair that women cry. I mean, it just ruins the whole thing. It's like, can you imagine a bunch of guys in a boardroom and all of a sudden one of the guys start crying like, get out of here. You don't belong here. Or like that movie, you know, baseball players don't cry. What are you doing? But there's a real reality, and I'm not being harsh, I'm just being honest. I hear God saying, Stephen, I want to get you out. But I don't want to go that way. Because I like me. And Jesus doesn't like the flesh. And so he allows delays. He allows pain. He allows suffering. For one reason only. That you would come to Jesus Christ personally. And all he'll give you is himself. I am that I am. I'm all you need. I don't know what pain you've been through. how you feel that you've been mistreated in this world? Does it make a real difference to any of us, the agony that each of us have gone through? The thing that makes us different is not that I have the answers here, but Jesus Christ becomes the answer. The Jews had the tradition. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. They rejected the Word because of their tradition. Sometimes the truth is right here, and that's not good enough. Well, what really am I saying? I don't want to believe in you. Well, I believe that I am born again, spirit-filled, I'll never die again. Oh, you're going to die. I could die. But when you bury me, don't you dare say he died. I moved. I'm in 777 Heaven Way. That's where I'm living right now. And don't be praying me back like Dorcas. I mean, to go get your address and have to come back to Carson. That's not a good thing here. Leave me in heaven. Do not pray. Oh, we need Pastor. I'm sitting in the lap of Jesus. I've got to go back. Oh, wake up to you guys. I'd really punch you out then. I mean, I've been in Jesus. Now I'm back with you guys paying bills and debts and war. Let me go. Let me close by saying something that I want to challenge your mind more than ever before in my whole ministry. In Paul's ministry, he declared, death became a friend. And death became a possession. For me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. And the best thing in my life is for me to live for Christ. And the second best thing for me to do is die, because I'll be with Jesus for the rest of my life. When you have that philosophy, nothing can touch you. Nothing will discourage you. And you will continue, because one day you will be with the ones you love forever. Go ahead, blow me off this limb. Take your best shot. I still have wings. I need to learn to fly. Father, we ask that you would give us your heart and your life this morning. When you declare that I am the resurrection, Lord, you were saying that you are the God that imparts life. And sometimes, Lord, you are willing to bring people back from the dead. But other times, that God, that you desire to keep them and take them to heaven, but to us, you must impart life. And Lord, isn't that where all of us are at this morning? If we could ask for one thing, what would we pray for right now? Well, some would pray for cars and houses and jobs and marriages and whatever it might be. But wouldn't a prayer like, Lord, impart your life to me, be much better? Because what is life apart from you? And what are things but vanity in your eyes, vexation of soul? God, it is your heart, your spirit, your life that we desire tonight and today. And Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe some are here that have never come to Christ. Maybe you've given them answers to not understanding your ways. Lord, your thoughts for them are only good, not evil, to an expected end. God, that you never do anything in our life unless there's a purpose. And the purpose is always to bring us to you and to show us your glory. Lord, no wonder you declare that in all things we are to give thanks. And Lord, naturally that is impossible because we don't understand. Well, that's exactly what Martha felt. I don't understand, but I know. But God, she didn't know. And you were there to help her to understand. And God, you were patient with her. And once again, you drew her out. Open the tomb. But he stinks. Did I not tell you to believe and you would see the glory of God? Well, God, this morning we believe. If you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, and you want me to pray for you right now, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you and raise them high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, don't hesitate. A wonderful life. You can never, God bless you, never become bitter with your life. God bless you. God gave you a way out. Long time ago, you didn't take it. You've stayed away from Him. And because of that, your life is miserable. It's never too late to surrender to the most loving, gracious God that you could know. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.